Chapter 39. Into the pockets of his coat. Rather burn. Powerfully stated. Painted or unpainted. Very vigorous. Painted or. Do tell me she would be infernally jealous of him, wouldn't she? Who? What? The Baroness? Elena Maximovna? Jealous of Peter Ivanovich? Heavens! Are these the questions the man's mind is running on? Such a thing is not to be thought of. Why? Can't a wealthy old woman be jealous? Or, are they all pure spirits together? But what put it into your head to ask such a question, she wondered. Nothing. I just asked. Masculine frivolity, if you like. I don't like, she retorted at once. Tea is not the time to be frivolous. What are you flinging your very heart against? Or, perhaps, you are only playing a part. Razumov had felt that woman's observation of him like a physical contact, like a hand resting lightly on his shoulder. At that moment he received the mysterious impression of her having made up her mind for a closer grip. He stiffened himself inwardly, to bear it without betraying himself. Playing a part, he repeated, presenting to her an unmoved profile. Tea must be done very badly since you see through the assumption. She watched him, her forehead drawn in two perpendicular folds, the thin black eyebrows diverging upwards like tile antennae of an insect. He added hardly audibly, you are mistaken. I am doing it no more than the rest of us. Who is doing it? She snapped out. Who? Everybody, he said impatiently. You are a materialist, aren't you? Eh? My dear soul, I have outlived all that nonsense. But you must remember the definition of cabinets. Man is a digestive tube. ... I imagine now. I spit on him. What? On cabinets? All right. But you can't ignore the importance of a good digestion. The joy of life, you know the joy of life? Depends on a sound stomach, whereas a bad digestion inclines one to skepticism, breeds black fancies and thoughts of death. These are facts ascertained by physiologists. Well, I assure you that ever, since I came over from Russia, I have been stuffed with indigestible foreign concoctions of the most nauseating kind. Pah, you are joking, she murmured incredulously. He assented in a detached way. Yes. It is all a joke. It's hardly worth, while talking to a man like me. Yet for that very reason men have been known to take their own life. On the contrary, I think it is worth, while talking to you. He kept her in the corner of his eye. She seemed to be thinking out some scathing retort, but ended by only shrugging her shoulders slightly. Shallow talk. I suppose one must pardon this weakness in you, she said, putting a special accent on the last word. There was something anxious in her indulgent conclusion. Razumov noted the slightest shades in this conversation, which he had not expected, for which he was not prepared. That was it. Was not prepared, he said to himself. He has taken me unawares. It seemed to him that, if he only could allow himself to pant openly like a dog for a time, this oppression would pass away. I shall never be found prepared, he thought, with despair. He laughed a little, saying as lightly as he could, thanks. I don't ask for mercy. Then affecting a playful uneasiness, but aren't you afraid Peter Ivanovich might suspect us of plotting something unauthorized together by the gate here? No, I am not afraid. You are quite safe from suspicions, while you are with me, my dear young man. The humorous gleam in her black eyes went out. Peter Ivanovich trusts me, she went on. Quite austerely. He takes my advice. I am his right hand, as it were, in certain most important things. That amuses you, what? Do you think I am boasting? God forbid. I was just only saying to myself that Peter Ivanovich seems to have solved the woman question pretty completely. Even as he spoke, he reproached himself for his words, for his tone. All day long he had been saying the wrong things. It was folly, worse than folly. It was weakness. It was this disease of perversity overcoming his will. Was this the way, to meet speeches which certainly contained the promise of future confidences from that woman who apparently had a great store of secret knowledge, and so much influence? Why give her this puzzling impression? But she did not seem inimical. There was no anger in her voice. It was strangely speculative. One does not know what to think, Razumov. You must have bitten something bitter in your cradle. Razumov gave her a sidelong glance. H'm. Something bitter? That's an explanation, he muttered. Why, it was much later. And don't you think, Sofia Antonovna, that you and I come from the same cradle? The woman, whose name he had forced himself at last to pronounce, he had experienced a strong repugnance in letting it pass his lips. The woman revolutionist murmured, after a pause, you mean Russia? He disdained even to nod. She seemed softened, her black eyes very still, as though she were pursuing the simile in her thoughts to all its tender associations. But suddenly she knitted her brows in a Mephistophelian frown. Yes. Perhaps no wonder, then. Yes. One lies there lapped up in evils, watched over by beings that are worse than ogres, ghouls, and vampires. They must be driven away, destroyed utterly. In regard of that task, nothing else matters, if men and women are determined and faithful. That's how I came to feel in the end. The great thing is not to quarrel amongst ourselves about all sorts of conventional trifles. Remember that, Razumov. Razumov was not listening. He had even lost the sense of being watched in a sort of heavy tranquility. His uneasiness, his exasperation, his scorn were blunted at last by all these trying hours. It seemed to him that now they were blunted forever. A may match for them all, he thought, with a conviction too firm to be exulting. The woman revolutionist had ceased speaking. He was not looking at her. There was no one passing along the road. He almost forgot that he was not alone. He heard her voice again, curt, businesslike, and yet betraying the hesitation which had been the real reason of her prolonged silence. I say, Razumov. Razumov, whose face was turned away from her, made a grimace like a man who hears a false note. Tell me. Is it true that on the very morning of the deed you actually attended the lectures at the university? An appreciable fraction of a second elapsed before the real import of the question reached him, like a bullet which strikes some time after the flash of the fired shot. Luckily his disengaged H, and was ready to grip a bar of the gate. He held it with a terrible force, but his presence of mind was gone. He could make only a sort of gurgling, grumpy sound. Come, Kirillo Sidorovich, she urged him. No, you are not a boastful man. That one must say for you. You are a silent man. Too silent, perhaps. You are feeding on some bitterness of your own. You are not an enthusiast. You are, perhaps, all the stronger for that. But you might tell me. One would like to understand you a little more. I was so immensely struck. Have you really done it? He got his voice back. The shot had missed him. It had been fired at random, altogether, more like a signal for coming to close quarters. It was to be a plain struggle for self-preservation. And she was a dangerous adversary too. But he was ready for battle. He was so ready, that when he turned towards her not a muscle of his face moved. Certainly, he said, without animation, secretly strung up, but perfectly sure of himself. Lectures certainly, but what makes you ask? It was she who was animated. I added in a letter, written by a young man in Petersburg. One of us, of course. You were seen, you were observed with your notebook, impassible, taking notes. He enveloped her with his fixed stare. What of that? I call such coolness superb, that's all. It is a proof of uncommon strength of character. The young man writes that nobody could have guessed from your face and manner the part you had played only some 2 hours before the great, momentous, glorious part. Oh no. Nobody could have guessed, assented Razumov gravely, because, don't you see, nobody at that time. Yes, yes. But all the same, you are a man of exceptional fortitude, it seems. You looked exactly as usual. It was remembered afterwards with wonder. It cost me no effort, Razumov declared, with the same staring gravity. Then it's almost more wonderful still, she exclaimed, and fell silent, while Razumov asked himself whether he had not said there something utterly unnecessary or even worse. She raised her head eagerly. Your intention was to stay in Russia? You had planned. No, interrupted Razumov without haste. Had made no plans of any sort. You just simply walked away, she struck in. He bowed his head in slow assent. Imply yes. He had gradually released his hold on the bar of the gate, as though he had acquired the conviction that no random shot could knock him over now. And suddenly he was inspired to add, the snow was coming down very thick, you know. As he had a slight appreciative movement of the head, like an expert in such enterprises, very interested, capable of taking every point professionally. Razumov remembered something he had heard. I turned into a narrow side street, you understand, he went on negligently, and paused as if it were not worth talking about. Then he remembered another detail, and dropped it before her, like a disdainful dole to her curiosity. I felt inclined to lie down, and go to sleep there. She clicked her tongue at that symptom, very struck indeed. Then, but the notebook. The amazing notebook, man. You don't mean to say you had put it in your pocket beforehand, she cried. Razumov gave a start. It might have been a sign. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.